I just hate stupid people.
Dreamed about that girl who's been waiting for so long. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. Oh, how I wanna go I rode a freight train north to Detroit City, and after all these years, I find that I've just been wasting my time. So I just think I'll take my foolish pride and put it on a southbound freight and ride, and go on back to the loved ones, the ones I left waiting so far behind. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. Oh, I wanna go home. I wanna go.
That's what I like to see. Bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I've got to give me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay.
This rally is not about guns, but what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man, that he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone, and that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
Can't take me. I'm free.
You associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are. Okay.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. And here we are, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 9th of August, and it's Wednesday. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, some pleasant, some not so pleasant. Quite a bit of gun stuff. We're probably going to run overtime a little bit tonight and mess up the Tinker schedule there, but hopefully it'll be okay. There's, as a lot of you probably already know, if you've been watching TV or listening to the radio or watching Facebook or doing whatever, it appears that we are right on the brink of war with North Korea. A lot of mixed opinions about that. There's some folks that are just cannot seem to get off of the conspiracy. Now, not that I don't enjoy a good, healthy conspiracy, believe me. But, you know, there's times when you have to sit back and try to use a little common sense and think about things a little bit and figure out if there is actually, let me turn this up just a little bit, if there is actually a reason to believe that there's a conspiracy. I think that with Trump in there now, and of course there's a lot of people that don't like Trump, so that just makes it worse. Frankly, I do. For the time being. And I think that he would put the kibosh to anything that... I could be totally wrong. I don't know. But he's going to have to prove it to me. I cannot and will not sit in here and tell you what he's going to do and what conspiracies and everything's a false flag and all this crap until there is some reason for me to believe that. And at this moment, there is no reason to believe that. What I do believe is there is a psychopath in North Korea, an absolute, that poses a clear and present danger to the United States, to freedom in general, to every free country that they can reach. I refuse to believe that every single, I've said this I don't know how many times, and how many times I'm going to have to say it again. But I refuse to believe that every single damn thing that that happens that is said on the news is a lie. Some people say, "Well, he didn't. He really didn't launch all those missiles." And you know this how? You have an opinion, even if it sucks. You have an opinion. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But at this point in time, I have no reason to believe that is false. Is it 100% true, the distance, the range, the capacity of these missiles, all that? Is one? I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I do believe they did launch missiles. I do believe that they could reach at least maybe right to the edge of the West Coast, certainly Hawaii. So what are we to do? What is President Trump to do? There'll be people out there that will forever, always, no matter who's president, tell you that this is a a false flag and that we're attacking a country that's minding their own business and it's none of our business. Shut up. Just shut up. Go away. Go stand in the corner. Go drown yourself. I don't care. I'm so sick of this, I could puke. It may turn out to be that, but you're going to have to prove it to me before I start telling lies like some of these other people are. I think that the way that I see it, what I was going to say a while ago, if no matter what happens, there'll be somebody that thinks, well, we're attacking them for no reason, you know, for, you know, monetary gain for some reason or another, or, you know, whatever the case may be, creating a false flag so that something else can happen. Number one, I don't believe that at this point in time. I might later. And the other thing that could happen, okay, he decides not to launch a strike. And I'm not saying anything that everybody doesn't already know. There's root talk on the news about launching a preemptive strike on North Korea. Now, I don't know how a preemptive strike actually plays out when you tell the whole damn world on television, which really pisses me off. But if President Trump all of a sudden gets a soft spot and says, okay, well, let's just see what he does, and we find out that he launches 5 missiles and they're a little more accurate than we think, and all of a sudden Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver, and Las Vegas are go up in smoke. And then we say, well, why didn't you do something? You knew he was going to do this. He said he was going to do it. Why didn't you do something? I swear these people piss me off so bad. So we meaning America, maybe not you, but me and a whole bunch of other people, decided that President Trump was going to be our president. That's how come we call him President Trump. And we elected him to make certain decisions and do certain things and to get people in there that we hoped and thought would be better for the country. You know what? Let him do his job. Right, wrong, or indifferent, shut up. Let him do his job. If it winds up being disastrous for us, then we'll know better. If it winds up making things better, then some of these people are going to have some crow to eat. I invite them to move to some other country. Now, this is not without problems. If he does go ahead and do this, if he does go ahead and decide to launch this strike, which I believe that he will, I don't think he bluffs, it may immediately solve this problem of the Pillsbury Doughboy over there running his mouth. It may invite Iran to jump in there while our attention is on North Korea. Now, certainly there are military strategists in there and generals that know much more than I do, and I'm sure they're watching that. But watching it won't stop it. What if they decide to do something? What if we don't launch the strike and Korea does something and Iran takes advantage of that and does it anyway? To me, and mind you, I'm not the President of the United States, although I probably ought to be. I'm not a military strategist, but I do have a reasonable modicum of common sense. In my feeble pea-picking mind, I think that the only logical thing to do, we've already told him. We've already told him that we would release hell and unleash hell and fury on him like mankind has never seen, like the world has never witnessed before. I think he'll do it. Okay.
you've had your warning. You warned us, told us what you were going to do. We're skeptical. You may do it, maybe not. So here's the deal. You've received your warning, and we're going to carry it out. And I think we will immediately need to be prepared to counter whatever Iran does. Frankly, I'm not completely sure that China and Russia are going to jump in there. I'm doubtful at this time, although it may allow China to jump on somebody else's back there. So this is, it's kind of a no-win situation no matter how you look at it. Is there a clear, perfect answer to this dilemma that is going to be solved easily and without major monumental loss of life? I don't know. At this point, it doesn't look like it. However, whatever the loss of life, it needs to be minimized as much as possible. That does not mean to sit back on our haunches and watch and see what he does. So, I don't know that anyone agrees with me, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it. There is a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff that is not being broadcast all over the news right now in the form of troop movements and ships relocating. It's easy to look up right now. The USS Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier has left Brisbane, Australia as of a couple of weeks ago and is on its way to North Korea. There's quite a number of other things that are happening that's along those lines. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I want to check this link that Minnie posted here because I don't think I have seen this yet. So, Minnie, thank you for posting that. That looks like it may be an interesting deal, so I'm going to check it out right quick. Defense Secretary James Mattis delivers statement on North Korea. He says, stand by just a second. All right. He said, let me get this back up here. The United States and our allies have demonstrated capabilities and unquestionable commitment to defend ourselves from attack. Kim Jong-un says should take heed of the United Nations Security Council's unified voice and statements from governments the world over who agree the DPRK poses a threat to global security and stability. The DPRK must choose to stop isolating itself and stand down its pursuit of nuclear weapons. DPRK should cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. President Trump has informed the growing threat last December, and on taking office, his first orders to me emphasized the readiness of our ballistic missile defense and nuclear deterrent forces. That's my president. While our State Department is making every effort to resolve this global threat through diplomatic means, it must be noted that the combined allied militaries now possess the most precise, rehearsed, and robust defensive and offensive capabilities on Earth. The DPRK regime's actions will continue to be grossly overmatched by ours and would lose any arms race or conflict it initiates. Okay, well, there you have it. I think that's it in a nutshell. Thank you, Mad Dog. We appreciate that little statement there. And it pretty much confirms what I was thinking about there. Let me see. I'm getting some stuff coming in right now. Let me double check this real quick and make sure that it's not anything. Okay. All right. So we'll let that go for now and see what happens. It is one of those things where there could be breaking news literally any minute. If something comes up, we'll certainly break in here with it.
Now, for those of you in Arizona or parts of New Mexico or maybe southern Colorado, southern Utah, Nevada, possibly even California, not too far to drive, Chris Ann Hall is going to be here. She's going to be in Snowflake, Arizona, which is about 30 miles from where I'm sitting right now, 35 or something like that. And she will be here on the 18th of September. And let me find, if I can, right there. Stand by just a minute. Let this thing load again. 14th of September, I'm sorry, 14th of September from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Faith Christian Center, 505 South Main Street, Snowflake, Arizona. Cost to get in, of course, is free, as always. And I'll tell you, I've been to several of Chris Ann's classes when I was pulling security for her, and I will likely be at this one, and you just can't get enough of this. I don't know that there are too many people in this country that are so knowledgeable and have such a tremendous grasp on the founding documents, not just the Constitution, and her ability to convey that those thoughts and those messages in those documents to you. It's a free class, for crying out loud. People and I have done, I have traveled thousands of miles over and over and over and paid money for classes that aren't nearly as beneficial as this one is. So it's free. Lodging around here is relatively, reasonable compared to a lot of places. It's higher in the summer, of course, but it's still not nearly as bad as Olympia, Washington, even in the winter. So put back a few bucks. You've got a little over a month to prepare for this. Put back a few dollars come and visit with us here and come see Chris Ann in Snowflake, Arizona on 14 September. Okay, let's go on. We got quite a bit of gun stuff to do tonight. And one of the things I want to do, I want to touch again on, we talked about the SIG P320 the other night. I've got a little bit better handle on this. I watched a very well done video, and I've read a couple of articles about what is, I don't know if you call them articles or documentaries or whatever, on this problem with the SIG P320. And here's what has happened here. Everyone that has tested this has loaded it, and I'm confident they're using blanks, I hope, or doing it in some kind of deal where it's safe to do it. But anyway, they're dropping it on its side or dropping it on its muzzle, and they have not been able to recreate these accidents, these accidental discharges. Yes, this would be an accidental discharge if it's dropped and lands wrong. Well, there's an outfit up here and say, well, what happened if you drop it on its rear end? Drop it on the slide. Well, they got very predictable, reliable, unintentional discharges by dropping it on the back end of the slide. Over and over and over. Now, there were a few that did not, and a few that did. And
Yeah, I know it, Edge of the Woods. It's funny. I don't know, you may not have been listening, but it just amazes me that the Special Forces, you know, the Rangers are carrying Glock 19s right now, as is evidenced by the immense number of Glock dry practice kits that I'm sending to them. I got another order today for the 75th Rangers. And it's just asinine to me that they've chosen a different gun than what their Special Forces are carrying. Wouldn't it make sense that your armors don't have to be double trained and have to carry double inventory, and you won't be able to say, "Hey, buddy, I'm out of ammo. Can you loan me a magazine until we get over that hill?" No, I can't, because your gun is far superior to mine, and I have this piece of junk that everybody else is carrying here, and I'm sorry, but I can't help you. So, anyway, I think that's dumb. Long slide. Let me ask everybody else. Long slide says that I sound like I'm in the swimming pool. Do I have sound problems that nobody has relayed to me all this time that we've been talking? I don't know exactly what it would be. I'm checking my settings here, and everything looks fairly pretty reasonable here. Let me try turning that down a little bit. Let me turn it back on and see. So I don't know. That's the first I've heard. Hey, there's Nan joined us. Welcome. Okay. Well, just because I'm in the bathtub doesn't mean I sound like I'm underwater. I have managed to actually sit in the bathtub and talk without being underwater. If Yakima Glock says it sounds fine, then it's fine. Maybe it's you guys who need to adjust your stuff. But hopefully we can muddle through it. I'm sorry if it's not up to par for you. But I'm of the opinion that if it goes out and sounds good to anybody, then it should sound good to everybody. I may be wrong. There's another one. Minnie says it sounds all right. All right, well, let's continue to march. So what this group did, they dropped the SIGs on their rear end, on the rear of the slide, and got lots of unintentional discharges. It was determined, and rightfully so. They did a very, very good, very thorough test on this, I think. And it seems like the weight of the trigger made a difference in how many, not the trigger pull weight, but the actual physical weight of the trigger. Take the trigger out, put it on a scale, how much does it weigh? The guns, there were different, some model changes there, and the guns with the heavier triggers, the triggers that weighed the most, went off with monotonous regularity. The lighter triggers, pretty rarely. Now, Glock did the same thing. They dropped Glocks from 300 feet out of helicopters onto asphalt parking lots, and they never did get one to go off. And part of that, there's two reasons for that. And I think that one of them, of course, is the very light Glock trigger. Now, they tried this even before they put the trigger safety in the Glock. We're never been able to make it go off. However, the lawyer said, you know, we think it's a good idea, so you need to go ahead and put this trigger safety in there. The trigger safety will absolutely prevent an unintentional discharge when the gun is dropped. And there's also another drop safety in the form of the cruciform inside the gun in the trigger mechanism. So now two things I think prevents this in the Glock. One of them, of course, is the extra light trigger, the whole mechanism being very light. Now you say, how does this happen? Well, let's look at it this way. Let's say that we had a Not to pick on 1911s. That's not my intention here. But let's say we had a finely tuned 1911, with a decent trigger, and the trigger was made out of feathers. And we dropped this on its rear, and the trigger has no, what would you call it, inertia? No kinetic energy, maybe, is the word for it. I'm not sure. And the so it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't move. It's too light. Let's take the same gun now and install a trigger that's made out of lead. It's now, you know, 18 times heavier than it was with the... I don't think I'm looking for mass. Mass would be, you know, the physical measurement of it, but I'm looking for the term for the trigger moving under on impact, which I think is kinetic energy or inertia. I'm not sure, but anyway. So yeah, can you kind of understand what I'm getting at there? So they determined that this probably what happened with it. They even took one of the heavy triggers and took a Dremel tool to it and lightened it up and almost eliminated the unintentional discharges. How can they fix that? If their pride will let them, you put a trigger just like the Glock with trigger safety in it. You say, well, they wouldn't do that. Glock, then nobody would do that. Well, somebody already has done it. Ruger did it a long time ago. Ruger did it back in 2007 or 8 or somewhere in there when they came out with the SR9. They had some problems. They recalled it. You know how they fixed the problem? They put the exact same trigger safety in it that the Glock has. Doc, if they put a thumb safety on it, that would have eliminated it from the running for the FBI. We'll get into that in just a minute. Now, this I think that this situation here is probably, well, no, that's a lie. I opened my mouth here and I shouldn't have. I was going to say it's kind of like the Remington 700 deal. I still don't believe there's anything wrong with Remington 700 triggers. Have there been a few accidental discharges with it? Yeah, there probably has. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what caused them. I do know that millions of Remington 700 owners so far have not experienced that, and no millions probably never will. And how does that differ for the SIG? Well, the SIG is simply dropping it on the ground. All these, thank you, Susie B, for that. All of these wannabe experts online on Facebook say, well, if you drop your gun, you don't deserve to have one anyway. Now, there's a man that doesn't train very hard. I can't even begin to tell you how many handguns I've seen dropped on the ground. How does this happen, you might ask? It happens when people are actually training. When they are transferring the weapon to their support hand. When they're doing one-handed drills, one-handed reloads, one-handed malfunction clearing. When they're transitioning from handgun to rifle, or vice versa. Sometimes these things happen. The most experienced, the best pistoleros and instructors and operators in the world, sooner or later are subject to drop a gun, whether it's a handgun or a rifle or both. Poop happens. That's why they put drop safeties in. I know that there are probably a few people out there that have never dropped a gun. I would also say that there's probably a few people out there that haven't trained very hard. They haven't shot 20 and 30,000 rounds a year in training. They shoot 200 rounds a year in training. They stand on a level range with nice manicured gravel with a table in front of them, and chances are pretty good you may go for quite some time without dropping a handgun. What could cause you to drop a handgun? Well, we talked about those few things. How about sunscreen? How about blood? Do you have any earthly idea how slippery blood is on steel? It's a whole lot like snot on a doorknob. And if you think that you're absolutely without any hesitation can tell me that there is no way that you're going to drop that gun. Yakima Glock, I agree. Then either, you know, either you're, extraordinary, I guess, or you're lying, you know, one or the other. I saw a guy, now granted, I was out at a not-to-be-mentioned training facility out in Nevada one time, and a guy dropped his $2,500 Nighthawk, not just once, not twice, not even three times, but in the course of a couple of days, dropped it at least four times. This $2,500 Nighthawk, it's worth $25 to me, but this $2,500 Nighthawk, the safety come out of it each and every time. Each and every time, except the first time, they said, "Hey, go!" And I'd go over and put the safety back in for him so the guy could... It worked fine as long as he didn't drop it. He dropped it in the gravel at least four times. And the safety come out. So, is that a rare deal? Probably so. I've seen lots of 1911s dropped. I've never seen the safety come out of any of them except that one. So, that's not nothing to... no indication that... nothing against 1911s or anything. Even though I can say plenty of other stuff against 1911s, that has nothing to do with it. So, it's... long slide, ain't that the damn truth? Yeah. You take it out of the original case like it's a mouse trap. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, along those same lines, we are supposed to be taking a break right now. So, I think we'll actually do that. So I think what I'm going to do is, let's see here. Well, let me just throw this up here. That'll be good enough for now. And I'll be back here in just a few minutes.
I'll be back.
You know I got it. Come and get it.
Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Pain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Telling me that I ain't country.
Say, oh, if you wanna have a
what this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front.
You can't take me.
Are protected by the good Lord and a gun. You might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Now our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here. We ask.
November, where we're gonna set things free. All good people gonna gather around, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a
welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we're back. All right, now some of this noise that long slides here and there, not here and there, but hearing there, may be this fan behind me. It cannot be turned off. Okay? It won't be turned off. But I did aim it a little bit differently. Maybe that sounds a little better. We'll see. And I'll, by Liberty Lounge Day, I will try to rig up something a little bit differently for my comfort. It doesn't make as much noise. But I sure do like this big fan blowing right down my neck. It's just okay. All right. Let's see here. Let me go back here. Whoops, wrong one. Right here. Now, let me back up a little bit here and talk about what we talked about at the beginning of the show, and that is the possibility of war with North Korea or with anybody. Unfortunately, I'm afraid there's a whole lot of people that can say, yeah, it looks like we might. I don't know, pass me another taco there, would you? I think there's too many patriots, I know there's a lot of snowflakes and there's a lot of other idiots out there that couldn't care less one way or the other. Susie B wants a taco. So, the wise patriot is going to look at this and say, you know what? We're probably closer now than we have been since, not counting Iraq and Afghanistan, but closer now than when we didn't actually go. And I think that would have been back when we almost went to Libya. And that was in when? 1982? Let's see, 77? 1980, probably. When we actually went out on the tarmac with all of our gear, signed our little papers and said what's going to happen if we don't come back and all that, and then we was out there for several hours, everything sitting out there ready to be loaded, and they called it off. We went home.
I think that's the closest we've been, for at least that I know of, for quite some time. So, anyway, let's see, we had 82, Edge of the Woods, okay, let's see, 82, yeah. Well, that would have been the year I got out, so yeah, that was when I was at Fort Irwin. So, that would be about right. So, anyway, I think that the possibility, the potential here is probably a little higher than people are giving it credit. You know, there's been lots of threats and lots of saber rattling going on for years here, back and forth, different countries and whatnot. But if I were you, I think the smart patriot right now would look at this and say, you know, just in case, let's make sure that we have a few things in order. You know, you look at things like you have a checklist, like you have a system of some kind set up, so you can say, well, if this happens, this will be my level of preparedness. You know, in the Army, we would call that an alert level. And in some other organizations, that level may change with certain events that happen. So I would say that this would be up there probably just under your top readiness level. It would be at a time when you need to look at certain things in your preparedness and see how squared away. What if this did happen? What if one of those missiles gets loose and happens to make it over here? Where it stops, nobody knows. Is it accurate enough? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. We won't find out till it gets here. And you got to understand, this isn't going to be like a World War II cannonball when it hits. Wherever it hits, there's going to be several miles several square miles of real estate affected. So if this happens, are you prepared to hole up in your home for a while? Are you prepared to get out, bug out, and go somewhere else if you happen to get a warning that your place may be targeted or something like that? Have you checked your food and see how much of it has expired or has rotten or the cans swelled, or do you have enough? This is something that I have to go round and round with Amy about. Make sure that your fuel tanks are full. If you have the capability of being able to, if you have a couple of cans and the ability someplace to put them, it wouldn't hurt to maybe have a little extra. 5-10 gallons put away, just in case. And right now, as I'm talking, I'm certain that there are a few people listening that don't have any water, maybe a gallon or two in a milk jug of water put behind the door somewhere. I would like to think that everybody out there has an absolute, damn sure, bare minimum of 40 gallons or so, and preferably 300 or 400. But folks, if something like this happens, if it gets out of hand, you're going to be all you have. Now, some of us are fortunate enough that we've talked to our communities and we have the capability of communicating with each other, and we've already discussed certain scenarios where we might have some help, some assistance in security and in, you know, or whatever else we need to check. Have you looked in your bug out bag lately? Have you checked the water supply in there? Have you checked any whatever you have for food, MREs, granola bars, whatever it may be? Check the dates. Are they good? Have they been damaged? What about your batteries? batteries in radios, batteries in flashlights, batteries in radio, not just your communication radios, but in radios that you listen to radio stations on. Of course, that's one of the great things about the little Bofang is you can tune it to any FM radio station that there is. So, what do you have in the way of medical supplies? Do you have anything put back other than a box of Band-Aids? Yakima Glock, if you got a pack of jerky and a liter of cola, you're probably doing better than a whole lot of people out there. I'm serious. Do you have any medicine that your life depends on, such as insulin or something like that? What about the expiration dates on that? And a big one is to make sure that you test your communications, test your radios. Hopefully you have people in your area that you've discussed this with a little bit.
Excuse me.
And that you have someone to test with. I guess you could set one radio on one side of the room, one on the other, and then you could talk on it and run real fast over on the other side of the room and answer it and talk back and run real fast on the other side. Well, that's better than nothing, I guess. But ideally, if you could talk to one of your neighbors that's involved in this stuff with you, make sure your radios are in good shape. Any extra stuff, you don't buy any extra batteries or anything like that. And quite naturally, check your weapons, ammo, make sure you have an adequate supply of ammo to start out. You do not need 10,000, 30,000, 50, 80, 90, 100,000 rounds of ammo. If you start out with 500, you'll be doing a whole lot better than a lot of people. 200 will probably get you by and get you started. Don't strain your milk over getting a bunch of ammo when you don't have enough food, medical supplies, generator, radios, anything like that. And as Doc says, it certainly doesn't hurt to have a little bit of night vision equipment out there. Night vision stuff is right now is reasonably inexpensive compared to what it was 10 years ago. It's pretty affordable. The better stuff you can get, obviously the better off you are. If you have to get the worst, earliest stuff that there is out there, then you're still going to be better off than whole bunches of other people that have none. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. There's this has the potential to be very real. Very real. And I think that if you're smart and you tell people, you pretend to go through the motions of being a prepper, as we like to call ourselves, a survivalist, or someone that just has enough common sense to think ahead a little bit. You know, you don't have to break the bank. At this point in time, I don't think I would max out your credit cards like everyone did in Y2K and get all this stuff knowing that the world's going to come to an end. Your credit card stuff is never going to be, you'll never be accountable for it. I don't think I'd go there just yet. But as a matter of fact, it would be ideal if you could go into this being out of debt. But unless you can get out of debt in the next 30 days, well, that's probably not going to happen for most of us. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's move on here. I got another pretty interesting story. You know, I've talked about dropping rounds from time to time, and I have actually seen rounds go off that were dropped. I saw it twice at front sight. I just dropped around. One was a guy and one was a gal. Just dropped around, and it just happened. Of course, when you're out there with with 30 or 40 people day after day, you know, month after month, when you're out there, you go out there nearly 20 times and watch thousands of people go through these classes, you're bound to eventually experience just about any type of malfunction, any type of accident, any type of stupidity. Of course, there's no, the stupidity part is infinite, and there'll always be something new there. But I have seen rounds dropped, and it landed just right on a little sharp piece of limestone, and the round went off. Is it dangerous to do that? No, not much. Worst that could possibly happen is you might get a little shrapnel in the lower leg. If you happen to be looking down with no glasses on, you know, you might get a little dust in your eye or something. Almost no danger at all. The noise is not even, you know, it pops, but it's not nearly. It's probably 10%, if that, of what an actual, or what it sounds like in the gun, because it's not contained in the chamber, of course. So the chances of getting injured with this are very nearly zero. And if there is any injury, it will be exceedingly minor. We did some tests in Luna to see how far bullets traveled and cases traveled and stuff when they went off in a fire, where we rigged up a little torch and set shells just in place and put them in a wooden box with a plastic plexiglass lid and seeing what kind of damage actually happened. And it was pretty minor. If the shell is laying on its side and your foot, your ankle is behind it, behind where the primer is in the back of the shell, and it goes off, you might get a little bit of an owie, you know, where the brass hits you. The bullet practically goes nowhere. The heavier the bullet, the less farther it goes, because the brass goes all over the place, and it splits open, and a couple of little pieces may shear off of it. And like I said, the possibility is just very, very remote. So. But that, with all that being said, now let me take you into this story. Brand new story. I say brand new story. You know, all this stuff with all this fake news, people are redating some of these stories and coming out with it just so they can say, here, you heard it first from me. Well, no, actually, I heard this story 8 years ago when I was in Farmington or whatever the case may be. So apparently this is a new story. And new or not, it's unique, so we're going to go through it anyway. So, you know, just when you think you've heard everything, there was a guy in Washington that had something happen to him here. As a lot of us do, he has loose rounds rattling around in his truck in different places, you know, under the seat and in the glove box and in the console and all this kind of stuff. Well, one of these rounds went off. Yeah, it just went off. Here are his exact words when he reported this. He said, "I want to share a very strange thing that happened to me last Sunday. I'd say, like many gun people, I have ammo laying around in several places, some in my nightstand, some in my closet, and some rounds floating around in my car, specifically my center console. Well, last Sunday, I was headed out to go shoot. My preferred spot is up in the woods, so I have to drive a few miles on gravel roads to get there. As I'm driving up there, suddenly a loud pop from my center console, quickly followed by this familiar smell of burnt powder. Panicking, the first thing I do is look at my hip, thinking somehow my M&P shield miraculously discharged from inside my holster. But I was relieved to see that that wasn't the case. I then see smoke come out of the console and open it and find out one of the loose 45 ACP rounds I had in there had discharged. From what I could tell, I believe it was a key that was also in there that struck the primer on one of the bumps I took on the gravel. Now, if he's got something in the console and he hit a bump hard enough to make the primer go off, he's setting some land speed records. he's moving right on along down the road, or there's some pretty damn bad bumps on this particular road. But anyway, since the round, he said it wasn't hurt, since the round wasn't chambered. So all that happened was the case blew out and burned some of the plastic inside the console. I just wanted to share this as a caution that it is not a good idea to have ammunition bouncing around unprotected. Just because they're not chambered doesn't mean that something can't still happen. From now on, my ammunition will be stored in boxes at all times. And he shows a picture of it here, and it's like any other round that goes off that's not that's not chambered in a gun. And it's the brass is exploded like it is when you find them after a fire and stuff. And so anyway, kind of interesting. Just add one more thing that we need to add to our list of things to be careful about. So let me stand by here. And we're back. All right, I think I've covered quite a bit of territory tonight, so I'm not going to run as much overtime as I thought I was going to. Susie B. thinks I started late. Susie B., honey, let me explain this to you. We have what we call intros, we in the biz here. We have intros. There are things that lead up to our show. Rush Limbaugh, as a matter of fact, has an intro. Him and the golden EIB microphone and all that stuff. If he says he's going to start at 3, you know what happens at 3? He has commercials because that's how he pays for it. By the way, I pay for mine for those generous individuals that will click on the donation box up in the top right-hand corner of the chat room up there. That's how we pay for the servers and the website and all the other stuff that goes along with it. So, and then a few minutes after 3, Rush Limbaugh comes on. And then about a quarter after, you have to listen to about 3 to 5 minutes of ads again. At the bottom of the hour, it happens again. At a quarter till, it happens again. And at the top of the hour, it happens again. So, there you have it. That's how it works. Of course, you're lucky with the shooting bench. You only have a break at the top of the hour and at the bottom of the hour, or the top of the hour when we come on, bottom of the hour when I sometimes need to stand up, stretch my legs, fix myself a nice cold diet Dr. Pepper, and sit back down and get ready to baffle you with my, well, you know the rest of the story. So, with all that being said, I think I'm going to ease on towards the door. And I'm going to see y'all Friday night for Liberty Lounge. We'll have a good. This last one was particularly good. If you missed it, it is available on podcast right now. You can find it on iTunes by just doing a search for The Shooting Bench, or you can go to tsb.podbean.com, Tango Sierra Bravo.podbean.com, and that's where all of the podcasts are located there. And we're starting to, I've got an automatic deal now. Some of them are now starting to be posted on Facebook, too. I don't know if I'm going to continue to do that or not. We'll see how it goes. But that being said, I'm going to dash on out of here. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.